This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing. So we already talked a little bit about the fact that, as written, half elves don't necessarily have a community or a kingdom or tribe or any of these other kind of clans that we've discussed as some of the other races might have. They're a little bit more of what would be considered like a gypsy or a wanderer, would you say?
Yeah, I can see that. That's not to say that they don't have a home nation. They absolutely would, because the Player's Handbook even talks about how the naming conventions can be anything from the human or from the elven side, and hilariously says if they grew up in a human civilization, they're more likely to pick an elven name. If they grew up in an elven civilization, they're more likely to pick a human name because you're not my real dad, and they want what they don't have, right? Yeah, but it does end up making them loners, wanderers, or even trying to hide who they really are, and trying to pass for full human among humans and avoiding high concentrations of elves, since the elves can't get fooled that way very easily and the like. So it's it can make for a very lonely existence. But in the same way, like we talked about with the gnomes, how the gnomes are typically going to be, part of a human civilization, maybe a tutor for generations of a single family, that kind of thing. The half-elves very easily could be, trusted scouts or the collectors of bardic lore in a particular culture and find a home over the decades and centuries that way. So I can see it a lot of different ways.
Would you say that half-elf children tend to end up with one parent or the other?
It would seem that way. And my gut is that they typically end up with the human side more because they're going to be more similar the longest. Mm-hmm. And when they do get that itch to discover themselves, it's about the same time as the humans do too. And so it's a little less abrasive, perhaps. Although the tension and the possible, political intrigue that comes with having that one half elf kid growing up in the high courts of an elven dynasty is really fun too. But that's kind of my read on it. But I've seen it both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something else that the book says is that they're very good ambassadors or diplomats, because that's where we start to pull in why the half race can be so beneficial, is because they get the grace of the elves, but maybe a little bit less of the
rashness.
Yeah. How would you describe us humans? The human side. And so you kind of got the best of both worlds. And so they would be very good hostage negotiators, right?
Yeah.
You've got that kind of like in between where they're the ones helping countries or civilizations make treaties with each other. That kind of thing.
Yeah, because they're the very embodiment of two different things coming together. So they would make great ambassadors or emissaries, like you said, like hostage negotiation, which is awesome. I hadn't even considered that, where like they can empathize with wanting something you don't have, but willing to be going to great lengths to get it. They're like, yeah, no, I get that feeling. Let's talk about it. I love that. It makes them unique in being the kinds of characters that want to bring two sides together, because they are the living embodiment of two sides being put together.
And we already kind of talked about why these half-elves would likely go adventuring. But there's so many story hooks there. I mean, if you're an ambassador, you're just on a trip to get from, this town to that town to deliver the treaty. If you grew up with your human dad, you could be on a quest to meet your mom in the elven kingdom. You could just be trying to find somewhere you feel like you belong. There's so many different story hooks as to why a half elf would go out adventuring and probably eagerly join a party of adventurers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, even it kind of name checks bards in there as well. and even thieves, where they can just kind of adapt to any situation. And so they can find their niche in wherever they find themselves. And this one's probably the easiest one to figure out, maybe for humans themselves, of why they would go out adventuring.
We hope you guys enjoyed listening to our conversation this week. If you haven't done so already, it would really help us out if you would take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. The Compendium is also on Patreon. So if you like listening, that is a great way to help contribute to the content that we create. New episodes are available every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursday if you're a patron. And you can always keep up with us between episodes by following us on social media. Just look up The Compendium, that's C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Jason also shares a bunch of great content and plot hooks on his page, The Critical Dice, so make sure that you check him out and follow him as well. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time.